Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER Strategy Growth conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your presence this afternoon for the presentation of our strategic deal. I hope to find the right way to explain the reason, because we think this is, for BPER, an incredible opportunity of growth and creating value for our shareholders. So I know that is already present in our website, the presentation, so I would like to go into the presentation starting from page two, only to remember the starting point, 2019, and in a few seconds to underline some elements on the landscape, the structure of our shareholders, and underline that there are two main shareholders that together cover above 30% of the capital of the group. In the middle of the slide, probably is one of the reasons of our presence in this deal. You can see that our presence in Northwest is limited to 10% of our network of branches, and this is one important reason of our presence here in the transaction. On the right, the main result of 2019, I would like only to underline the positive net income also in a year with so many transactions completed by the end of 2019. Let me also underline the gross NPE ratio, 11.1, so another year of a strong reduction. We started the year with 13.8, and as many of you remember, in 2016 we were at 23.5%. On page three, the transaction overview. So yesterday we signed an agreement with Intesa San Paolo for the acquisition of a going concern, obviously subject to the completion of the voluntary public exchange offer launched by the Intesa San Paolo Group. And the main characteristic of this going concern is on the left of this slide. I would like only to remember, first of all, that this perimeter includes only assets and liabilities strictly related to the branches acquired, so no head office, no central structures, and also no obligations with reference to current distribution agreements. The second point is the asset quality, and it in line with the UBI asset quality at the reference date that at this stage is expected to be the end of June 2020, but at the end of 2019 the NPE gross ratio of UBI was at 7.8%. The third point is also in terms of allocated capital. Also here, the allocated capital in the going concern will be in line with the ratio at the reference date at the end of 2019. It was 12.3%. In this going concern, the number of customers will be around 1.2 billion euro. On the right, only to remember that this is an acquisition in cash, and for the right issue, there is the pre-underwriting agreement signed with Mediobanca. On page 4, the preliminary timetable. So the EGM expected in Q2 2020 and the capital increase in the second half 2020 and the closing expected by December 2020. Well, we think that there are strong strategic rationale in this potential important deal. First of all, the value for the shareholding through enhancing profitability, improving asset quality, and maintaining a strong capital position. These three elements, profitability, asset quality, capital position, are always the elements that we use to analyze every single potential deal. And this time, we believe that there will be many positive elements on all three elements here. Remember, a significant sale increase, another important point, and the presence to strengthen the presence of our group in the more productive and dynamic area of the country, in particular in Lombardy. We expect also a significant operating efficiency benefits related to the structure of the going concern, as I said before, no head back office legacy. We think also to have some potential value creation through cross-selling of BPER products. You know that we worked so hard in the last year to maintain the private companies in the perimeter of the group, and now we are ready to take advantage of this positive situation in this potential deal. On page 6, we would like to remember that our history is an history of many acquisition and merger of many banks. I think this reason is important, this element is important to underline, to understand that we think to have a very low execution risk and also a very short time for the integration because we have only branches and not a legal entity. On page 7, I said before that we think that through this acquisition, we can have a rebalance in our network of branches, and so we can see that the presence in Northwest is increasing significantly, and in particular in Lombardy there is an important network of branches, and you know that is an area of the most wealthy area of the country. In Lombardy, we expect to have a market share above, well above 6%. On the next page, on page 8, I'd like to underline on the left, we have the contractual agreement signed. So it is not what we expect to have in the going concern, but they are the limits of these agreements. So first of all, loan to customer between 20 and 23 billion euro. There is a cap in terms of RWA 15.5, and we repeat again a common equity one ratio in line with the UBI. In terms of number of branches, between 400 and 500. On the right of the slide, we can see also the amount of expected deposits and indirect deposits. On the next page, page 9, we think that we pay attention to have a transaction with the right price. We think to have a discount to average trading multiples observed for another transaction. Let me underline that the going concern price to common equity 1/2019 will be 0.55, in line with the ratio of yesterday of UBI. So no premium on this level compared with the price to common equity one of BPER at 0.58. On the right of the slide, you can see also the price earning 2021 of BPER, UBI, and going concern. I think is extremely positive the level of the PE that we are paying with this transaction. As I said before, we try here to express our strong view on the loan to customer and the potential risk density, and so at the end the price paid for the ongoing concern. So here we have a sensitivity analysis, and our expectation is to have a loan to customer at 21.5 billion euro, with a credit risk RWA density around 45%. Frankly speaking, we expect probably something less, or 45%, but anyway, you know that our approach is extremely prudent on this element, and here we use the 45% density. On the right of the slide, there is a sensitivity on net income related to the loan to customer. And with this level of the loan to customer, we expect it to have 165 million euro of net profit. So thanks to these elements, we can try to express clearly the price consideration and the goodwill generated by the acquisition of this going concern. On the left, the key assumptions. First of all, the total RWA, in this case the number is 11.6, and also there is also the risk-weighted asset related to operational risks, and the price consideration of 0.55. On the right, you can see so that the expectation is to have a going concern allocated capital of 1,420 million euro, and the price paid of 0.78, and so the bad will be around 640 million euro. We expect to have additional loan loss provision of 150 million, so at the end the bad will be around 0.5 billion euro. On the next page, we try to express also our expected internal financial metrics, in particular the EPS accretion dilution analysis. And as we try to express in this slide, our expectation is that using the net income consensus and the going concern net income that we expressed in the previous slide, our expectation with a capital increase of 0.8 billion euro to have an increase in accretion of earnings per share of 6%. It's important also to remember that with this investment of 800 million euro, the return of investment in the range between 15% and 20%. So also from this point of view, we think that this is a very important opportunity. On page 13, what happened to BPER? So by total asset for the first time in our history, we reach 100 billion euro. So the fifth Italian banking group from this point of view, and the fourth banking group in terms of number of branches, roughly 1,700. Next page, some expected impact on different important elements. First of all, probably the most important figure is the number of clients. So we expect an increase between 40-45% of our customer base, close to 4 million, million clients. As I said before, total assets plus 30% and also on deposits side. The gross NP ratio, as I said at the beginning of this presentation, we have a strong focus of NPE. Also, after the important success of the action in the last years, as I said before, starting from the 23.5 in 2016, 2019 we have 11.1%. Thanks to this transaction, the expectation is to close the year around 8% and to go below 8 in 2021. Compare the below 9 expected in the business plan. We confirm the solidity of the group with a common equity one ratio fully loaded above 12.5% in 2020 and above 13% in 2021. The cost income ratio is expected to have a drop below 59% in 2021. So, some closing remarks about the this potential deal. First of all, as I said before, the most important element is growth and business development through the acquisition of 1.2 million clients. So I said it before, so together with this going concern, we are very close to have 4 million clients. And the acquisition of a range between 400 and 500 branches. The other crucial point is the operating efficiency benefits. So this time, to have the opportunity to have only branches and only cost, operating cost, staff cost related to the branches without no head back office legacy, it's an incredible opportunity to extract operating efficiency. And this, in our view, is possible because we have a full range of product companies in our perimeter. So you know that working for this strong de-risking, there was the risk to sell a part of the value chain of the group to sustain the de-risking. We were able to do this without this risk, and now we have our product companies, and we are ready to extract value also thanks to the development of the network and of the number of clients. The other point is this is another opportunity of the risk acceleration. As I said before, we closed the year at 11.1, but we are acquiring a perimeter with looking at the number of the end of 2019 with a net a gross NP ratio at 7.8. So only thanks to this acquisition, the NP will go around 10%, and thanks to other action already starting during this period, we expect to be around 8% and below 5% at the end of 2020, confirming also the our solid and sound capital position with a common equity one at 12.5%. The increase of the scale is significant. BPER will be the fifth Italian banking group by total asset. And what is really important is to understand the strong complementary network between BPER, the good BPER group, and the going concern. So really, it's difficult to think of something better, but there is a very strong fit between the two networks, and so we can have a more balanced presence in Italy with a significant growth in the northern area of the country, and in particular in Lombardy. Last point, we think that also the price paid for the going concern is absolutely a compelling price, and we expect to have a high return on our investment, and also in terms of accretion in EPS around 6% is another important element. So I think all these elements express clearly the strong view on this important opportunity for BPER Group. Last point, I think that the experience of BPER Group in acquisition, merger, integration express clearly a very low risk in execution, and at the same time also here we have a facilitation thanks to the acquisition not of the legal entity, not of a bank with a head back office, but of a going concern in which we have only branches and related staffing costs to the branches. For this reason, we trust that this is a very strong opportunity for BPER Group. Thank you for your attention.
Mr. Vandelli, are you ready for questions?
Yes, thank you. We are ready.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call Conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. A couple of questions on my side. The first one is on the perimeter of the branches both. I'm surprised to see that there are, something like one third of the branches that are in the center and the south, where you have already an exposure. So I'm wondering whether it was your choice to pick up those branches, or if it was something that was offered you and you have to take it as offered. And related to this, I was wondering whether you do have any kind of put option on the loans that you are buying, if, for example, the asset quality of the loan portfolio after some months were to deteriorate or were not in line with your expectations. And the very last question is, I understand that there is probably a great degree of prudence in your assumptions, but if I assume that the capital increase is 1 billion, the deal is 3% dilutive on your EPS, which does not mean that the deal is value destroying, but clearly is not good news for the shareholder. And with 900 million euro capital increase, the deal, by your words, is 1% EPS accretive. So I'm a little bit, confused with the strategic rationale of this deal. Or shall we assume that 165 million euros of going concern net income is an extremely prudent assumption, so you can do much more than that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Giovanni, for your question. First of all, on the perimeter, so we are absolutely satisfied to have 64% of the branches allocated in the northwest of the country. So this is, in our view, the most important message looking at the branches. At the same time, you know that in the center of Italy, we have a good presence, but there is still room to increase our presence. And you know, we have a strong presence in Emilia Romagna, to increase our presence in a region like Marche and Tuscany is an opportunity also to have a very close area to the headquarters of BPER. So in our view, this is the best balance in terms of branches in the country, and the fit with our network is the best that we can expect in this kind of transaction. About the loans, what will happen is that the loans will be exactly what is present in the branches that at the end will be in the perimeter of the going concern, but with an important element that the NPE gross ratio, the NPE net ratio, will be in line with UBI at the reference date. So if at the reference date there is, for example, 7.5% of gross NPE ratio, the quality of the loan book of this perimeter must be 7.5%. If there is more than 7.5%, there will be a reduction of the perimeter to have the exactly amount of the MP of the full UBI. At the same time, let me express that in this view we are extremely positive because also looking at the expectation by UBI in terms of cost of risk and looking at the near future, there was an expectation to see a reduction in the cost of risk, roughly 0.5% of cost of risk. So the evolution in the coming quarters will be, in our view, it's possible to see another improvement. So the quality of this loan perimeter is absolutely positive. Looking at the strategic rationale, I think from a quality point of view, let's say that it's difficult to find an opportunity, in my view, like this, to have an increase of the presence in the northern Italy, in the wealthiest region of Italy, without a back office central structure, and having only the cost related to the branches, with a cost income ratio below 50%, I think any other potential combination today on the market, we can't have any similar positive effect on our balance sheet and profit and loss. If you want, in terms of the analysis of accretion in EPS, our estimate is not to have $1 billion of increase. This is, as I tried to underline before, what was on from a contract point of view. What we expect to see is to have something between 750 and 80 million euro, and in this right issue level, the expectation is to have an accretion around 6%. The other point, this is the starting point, because we estimate at the beginning 160-170 million euro of net profit. Obviously, you know, the return and the profitability of our network is a very strong profitability, and we think also thanks to our product company to have a potential increase in the profitability of this network when we'll be together with the network present today in BIPER. So also from this point of view, probably the elements we try to understand today, also looking at the trend on the market, if all the analysis are on the 1 billion of capital increase, we understand that the earnings per share accretion or dilution is negative, but our expectation is to be well below this level, and as said before, between 750 and 800 million euros.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead.
Just one question. How do you calculate the 165 million contribution in terms of earnings brought in by the perimeter you're buying since you are looking outside in, so you can't really allocate revenues and costs precisely to the activities you are bringing in? I'm just wondering what is the underlying assumption that gets you to 165 million, also because I can't really match it with numbers that were provided in Intesa's presentations this morning that would provide a slightly lower net income. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. Alessandro Simonazzi, head of planning and control.
Good morning. About this estimate, obviously we only used public figures, and we assumed that the number of branches was in the half, and the volumes were in the half of the range that we had signed with Intesa. So we considered 21.5 million loans. We considered a yield that is the one that UBI had in 2019. We consider the cost of credit that is 2019 normalized, and it's 0.7. And let me underline that 0.7 is quite higher than the target cost of credit that they defined for the business plan. So we made a sort of estimate referring to the average figures in the range that we have signed with Intesa San Paolo, and with yields that are presumed from the balance sheet and the profit and loss of UBI for 2019.
So if I understand it correctly, I understood what you said, so you have done some averages on the basis of consolidated numbers. Do you have a way, before you embark in the transaction, of securing that an equivalent amount of profitability comes in? Because not all loans are equal, not all AUM are equal, and so on and so forth. So it may be quite off one way or the other. It doesn't have to be necessarily lower. It could even be higher. So how do you secure the contribution to you?
First of all, let me add that in this profitability, we included also the impact of MREL issues that we expect to issue for the future, referring to the risk-weighted assets of the carve-out. But in answering to your question, we made a sort of back testing using also our figures and our yield related to the areas in which UBI has the branches that we are going to buy. So in Lombardy, in some areas, in some other areas of Italy, we have other branches with parameters of profitability that we use to compare the results coming out from this exercise we made.
Okay, thank you.
The last answer is that we didn't refer to the UBI Group perimeter, but to UBI individual figures of the parent company.
Yeah, clear.
This was also because, for example, from the perimeter, R is only, for example, leasing and factoring. And so I think that the other point is really important is the benefit coming from a reduction in cost of risk expected also in the business plan of UBI. At the end, what we can say in the back testing that we completed, that probably the figure coming from our structure in similar area are better than what we find in the perimeter of UBI. So we think that there is room also to increase the level of net profit in this perimeter.
The next question is from Fabrizio Bernardi with Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Just a very, let's say, particular question about why now? Why this offer comes out right now, one day after the business plan presentation of UBI Banca? You say you want to grow up in scale, to get economies of scale, to cut cost. You will become the fifth largest Italian bank. I mean, many of us were expecting a deal by BPER or UBI or BAMI together, not with Intesa Sanpaolo. So my big question is if there was not any room to go on becoming the third Italian largest bank.
Well, for the third is the next step for let's say, and joking on, but well, first of all, let's say, in this transaction, the starting point is the public exchange offer, and the timeline was in the hand of Intesa Sanpaolo. What I can say is that thanks to this exchange offer, this was the time for a decision or to take this what we think is an opportunity. And so from our perspective, as I said many times in this presentation, we saw a strong value, a great opportunity, not only in the short term, this 2020 or 2021, looking ahead in the coming years to have this kind of network, this kind of customer base will be crucial to have a sustainable profitability over time. So this is, in our view, something that changes the trend of the group and is an opportunity to widen the profitability, try to use the full potential of our central staff and all the product companies. This is a clear message. On the time of the exchange offer, let's say, probably is not my decision, but we are after a decision on the timeline of the public exchange offer.
So one more question, if I can. Now there are just probably a smaller number of potential M&A partners that you could find in the market for another deal. So I was wondering whether this deal with Unipol, Intesa, and UBI makes the future of Arca more, let's say, linear, more obvious, more clear.
Well, probably is one of the opportunities that we have in our hands. So we are absolutely satisfied of Arca SGR. Also last year, the performance of the company are absolutely positive, and to have today a wider scale of customer on which to work with Arca, we think is an incredible opportunity for BPER Group, because today we have 57% of stake in Arca. So this is a strategic shareholding, and we are sure that today increasing the scale of Fossil Inter that will be a benefit for Acre itself. So it's a strategic shareholding of Wipro Group.
Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation on this busy day. Slide 12, where you give us the sensitivity of DPS accretion and dilution based on the capital. My understanding, if I'm correct, sorry because I lost part of the call, the three scenarios are based on a different price you will pay. Can you confirm whether that's the case? Liaisoning with the question of the colleague, I know that you said that Arca is a strategic asset, that's very clear, even more from today, but I'm just wondering whether there might be some rethinking at this point, given that you might want to minimize the size of the raise at this point, also given the strategic position of another asset manager in Italy that might be interested. Page 14, when you show the cost income in 2021, do you consider also some cost synergies in particular on these branches? I know that there are no back office, but just understand whether it was just an inertial scenario or you consider some more that we should take into account in the evolution of the cost income. And then when you show the NPE in the slide, if I'm not wrong, the 1 billion or more, yes, correct. How much is non-performing, how much is OTP? Any idea on this? Thank you.
I ask Roberto Ferrari to go through the earnings per share analysis. First of all, let's say I would like to underline that the price is a multiple of the common equity one. In this case, the expectation is the common equity one is equal to tangible equity because this is a perimeter of only branches, so there is an overlap between common equity one equity and tangible equity. Having said this, Roberto.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Domenico. So we start from the price. Our assumption is through the contract that we signed that we paid 783 million euro. And I would say consistent with the price, we assume a capital increase of 800 million euro, where in calculating the accretion, either dilution, but we say accretion, actually, we start from a discount to TERP between 20 and 25%. Actually, you should remember, you for sure remember that in 2014, the last capital increase that we performed, the discount to TERP was 26.5, so not very different. The capital increase that we performed in 2014 was a different capital increase, was a defensive one. This one is actually a capital increase that we do to buy a going concern network with an important net profitability. So actually, we are quite confident actually that we can have a discount to TERP in the region between 20 and 25%.
Sorry, can I step in just one sec? In reality, I mean, probably for the sake of clarity, using the price of today, because the price it can go down more and more, so the discount to TERP, even if it's the same, the dilution will increase. In reality, probably would be more correct to show at the current price of today, given that the valuation, it doesn't change, and the accretion will be 13 instead of 6. Anyway, that's just a detail. But my question was more about the size of the capital. So going forward, is there any chance that some asset could be reconsidered and the raise it might be lower going forward?
I would say actually that it depends on the amount of loans that we will buy from the going concern network. It depends on the risk-weighted assets. And in our central scenario, actually, when we have a price of 783 million, is consistent with a capital increase of 800 million. Clearly, it depends on the characteristic of the going concern that we are going to buy, and we will know it not before the last part of 2020, actually, or the last, the second part of 2020.
Let's say that looking at the trend of customer loans in UBI, what we expect probably that is possible looking at the range between 20 and 23 is possible to be in the lower part of the range and not in the higher part of the range, looking at the trend in the last quarter in the customer book of UBI. Speaking about the cost synergies, so I would say that the starting point, as I said before, with only staff and operating costs related to the branches, and we estimate to be below 50% in the cost income ratio, is a very strong starting point. So I think that it's possible to have some limited cost synergy, but if you compare our cost income ratio between 65-70%, this we have a strong improvement for BIP. Last point on the NP position. So the composition today is roughly 50% bad loans and 50% unlikely to pay and past due, and we expect to have the same composition in the branches of the perimeter.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Brambilla with Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you everybody. My question is, how do you will sell these capital raise for buying branches, and why buy branches when everyone is selling them? And if you exclude to be included in a next wave of M&As by Intesa San Paolo? Thank you.
Well, first of all, about branches, let's say first of all that probably nobody is selling, probably many are closing. Also, BIP is closing branches. If you consider that in the our business plan, we plan to close 230 branches, we have already closed 128 branches. Having said this, we are, in our view, not buying branches, what we are buying customer base. And this is the crucial point. So to have 1.2 million of more customer base for a group that today has 2.7 million of customer base is an incredible upgrade of the customer base that is impossible another way to reach. So, and to have this with the lowest possible cost, because we are going to buy branches and not a banking group, not a company, is the best way to achieve growth in terms of a number of customers. So this is the only opportunity. So I agree with you that today is not crucial branches, even if 80% of the activities is still in the branches. But anyway, this is the only way to increase the customer base. I don't catch your second question. I don't know if it was related to Intesa San Paolo. Sorry, Kelly, could you repeat?
Just if you exclude to be involved in other M&As by Intesa San Paolo eventually, if could be the next step for a bigger M&A wave in the future.
Well, I think is challenging enough to manage this important acquisition. We believe, as I said before, it is an important step in our strong focus on growth, but I think this is probably one shot in the relation with Intesa, and let's say that there was an opportunity to work on this project and to find an agreement in a very fair way, and this is an important achievement also in this potential acquisition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Vandelli, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your attention, and we hope to have other opportunity to meet you in the next month. Thank you very much.